First of all, and I'll be honest with you, I'm like the rest of y'all. Somebody says so-and-so's got COVID. And immediately in my mind, I hearken back to those moments in early 2020 when nobody knew what was going on. And you're like, holy crap. What? And then you have this brief moment where you go, oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Never mind. And so I'm not going to minimize the fact that I'm not going to minimize the fact that I know that there were people that we lost because of COVID. I also know, though, that there was a great deal of government overreach during that COVID time. Civil liberties went by the wayside in so many places. Charlene and I were talking this morning about the fact that so many businesses are still to this day trying to recover. Even whole industries, the movie theater industry, is still trying to find its way back. And you know, restaurants, and it's just ridiculous. And it's amazing how quickly we as a society became conditioned. And I know I've said it before, I've used this example several times, but I'm going to do it again. There's an amazing book called Escape from Camp 14. It's on our website. You can go to the recommended reading on Right Side Radio's website. And there's a book called Escape from Camp 14. It's written by a guy who defected. He escaped, actually, from a concentration camp in North Korea. And he was born in that concentration camp. He didn't like get imprisoned there after a period of time. He was born in that camp. He didn't know anything except what happened inside the wire of that camp. And as such, he was more conditioned even than the average North Korean. But reading his story and reading what it was like to see when a whole society does not even know what it means to have self-determination, does not even understand what it means to be able to make a decision, does not know that you have a right to make, you know, have a question, that you can be actually killed for having a question. Reading his story just showed me what happens when a society gets beaten down. Well, look at how many things are we conditioned to now that 4 years ago we would not have accepted? How many things have we just kind of gone, oh, wow, you know, COVID. I mean, like I said, we got, can't do that. Can't. Now, first of all, is COVID on the rise? I don't know. They say there's a variant out there. For the first time the other day, I had a client come in to see me at the law firm, and they had to call in and say, hey, Phil, I'm so sorry, but I just tested positive for COVID. I have not heard that in a long time. But then I had a family member that had to go to a local clinic, and they said, whew, we have been covered up with COVID cases. We didn't expect to see that. So it's happening. It's out there. But they're also saying, oh, by the way, it's like a bad cold. We're not in 2020. We're not. So if you are one of those who still hasn't quite shaken it off yet, just do understand this. My understanding of where we are is that if there's a new variant, it's still nothing like the beginnings of the virus. That being said, let me show you something. Well, I can't show you, but I can tell you. It's on my phone. I can hold it up to the camera. Whoop, whoop. But I got a text yesterday from my son-in-law. He clipped this, cut and pasted it off of a website. It's now been confirmed. It's not that I didn't believe him, but, you know, you like to see these kind of things before you go on the radio. So Morris Brown College, some of y'all may know of it. It's a small liberal arts college in Atlanta. Morris Brown College sent out a memo day before yesterday. Greetings, faculty, staff, and students. Effective immediately, Morris Brown College has reinstated its COVID-19 mask mandates due to reports of positive cases among students in the Atlanta University Center. Over the next 14 days, the following protocols will be in place. Are you ready for this? Mask wearing. All students and employees are required to wear face masks unless a staff person is alone in their office. Physical distancing. Students must remain physically distant. How does that work? Large gatherings. Institutional guidelines for gathering sizes must be followed. There will be no parties or large student events on campus for the next 2 weeks. Okay. Isolation and quarantine. Students must adhere to institutional policies and CDC guidelines for isolation and quarantine. Contact tracing. We're going to talk about that more in a minute. Contact tracing. Compliance with college-initiated contact tracing efforts is expected. Okay. Okay, let me finish the memo first. Symptom monitoring. Students and employees are obligated to undergo temperature checks upon campus arrival. What does that mean? You drive on campus, you walk to your classroom building in the August heat, and they take your temperature. that's going to go swimmingly. Regular hand washing, sanitation, frequent hand washing is expected from all students and employees. That is, Boomer, do you have a jackassery? Can I have a jackassery, please? Absolute jackassery. Absolute jackassery. The very idea. I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to do it for flu? Are they going to do it for, I don't know, bad sinuses? Are they going to do it for what? Sexually transmitted diseases? What? Where does this end? Contact tracing is expected.
It is not going to end.
Temperature taken. What'd you say, Boom?
I know you can't see me, but I'm going crazy over here.
Turn your camera on, dude. I want to see your smiling face as you just like wrap your brain around what I'm saying right now.
All right, so
there he is.
So yeah, it's not going to stop. Again, I think we've talked about this. I don't know, hundreds of times about they're going to take a giant leap, and then it's going to come back, and they're going to, you know, have that little bit of, I don't know. I can't believe that a university is already starting this stupidity again, and that they're going along with it.
I'd like to know who advised them.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, what was it? Was it one of their panicky staff members? Or was it somebody at the state health department that said, hey, by the way, would you like to be the first? Please shut everything down. 14 days to flatten the curve. Whoop, whoop.
I mean, what are the students thinking and the parents of the students? That's what I would like to hear about right now.
I don't know. And I look at this and I think, daggum, man. I mean, it's like I said a moment ago, if they're going to take your temperature when you walk in off a hot August street, what do they think is going to happen?
Exactly.
I just walked from my truck to Dale's bunker here a little while ago, and I probably shot up to 103. I mean,
I would have to change your shirt because I'd be sweating so much already. So,
yeah. Okay. But yeah. And that's Morris Brown College. If you got any friends at Morris Brown, you might want to check with them because apparently the pandemic is raging at Morris Brown College. 14 days to flatten the curve.
Wow.
So here in Alabama, let me tell you, there's a guy named Scott Harris. If you're not familiar with Scott Harris is the Alabama state health officer. Was he appointed by the governor? No. Is he accountable to the people? No. Does he have a job where he serves after being confirmed by the state Senate like other cabinet members? No. He just gets picked by the medical association. Yeah, we're one of the only states in the nation that has a state health officer with the authority to advise the governor and to issue proclamations that shut down businesses and tell you to wear a mask and keep your kids home from school, who has no accountability whatsoever, none. And you may remember his name during the pandemic. As proclamation after proclamation that was signed by Governor Ivey actually came from him. And there was a period of time there when I was with the Alabama Policy Institute that I was actually on the governor's coronavirus task force. And it was lame. I like to say there was zero tasking for the force. But we would get on phone calls and they would tell us, you know, like we would get a heads up like 10 minutes. I'm not kidding. I would get an email 10 to 15 minutes before the governor made an announcement that the governor's about to make an announcement. And it was embargoed until we announce it. Okay. That does mean, why are you telling me then? I mean, you give me like a heads up. I got an email inbox item. The governor's going to announce you got to wear masks in about 10 minutes. Well, I'm glad the task force had input. Thank you so much. But the state health officer, Scott Harris, among other things, helped put together contact tracing for colleges in the state of Alabama. He helped shut down businesses. He issued proclamations that had impacts on whole industries. He just got a pay raise. So, story here on 1819 News. State Health Officer Scott Harris, his new salary, you ready for this? Brace yourself. By the way, he's not picked by the governor. He's not confirmed by your Senate. He is not accountable to the people, but he's paid with tax dollars. He just got a 7% pay raise. He now makes $328,000 a year. $328,000 a freaking year. On Thursday, the State Board of Health voted unanimously to raise Harris's salary by 7%. According to the Department of Finance data, Harris currently makes slightly over $307,000. His new raise will make it $328,680. By the way, that's twice what the governor makes. Twice what the governor makes. The governor of the state of Alabama actually gets a very modest salary by comparison to the level of responsibility. But the state health officer, who has zero accountability, can't be voted out of office. He's making $328,680 starting next year. As state health officer, Harris oversees the state public health bureaucracy. There you go. Unlike other HC heads, he is hired and can only be fired by a board of physicians who are members of the medical association, which is, by the way, a dues-paying organization with lobbyists. During this year's legislative session, State Senator Sam Gavan of Huntsville had a bill that would have realigned how the state health officer does his job. That bill went nowhere, and we hope it's going to come back up next year. Keep in mind, too, Scott Harris, $328,000 of your tax dollars, in charge of everything related to COVID. He also recently attacked the idea that Alabama would have laws that prohibit sex change operations and hormone blockers for minors. Oh, okay. He also recently gave a speech about Medicaid expansion and said that not expanding Medicaid and creating more entitlements was a racist assumption. And that guy is your state health officer. When we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you about something that he helped put in place that to me is one of the creepiest things government's ever done in the midst of COVID madness. It's a way they can track your every movement and tell you when you're required to go home. We'll talk about it here in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I'll jump on some text messages before I jump back to the topic. So we're at number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it COVID madness, talking about some things that have happened in and around COVID and what's happening now. Frank from Huntsville, he just texted in, said, in your text message from your son-in-law, that's the one about Morris Brown College, said, I heard 2 weeks like five or six times, and that's what Dr. Fauci was saying in the beginning in 2020. If we just quarantine for 2 weeks, that's it. 14 days to flatten the curve, baby. Yeah. 14 days to flatten the curve, 397 days later. Jeff from Athens, he said, the movie theater industry needs to produce more features like Sound of Freedom. We saw it on the Tuesday it premiered at CinePlanet 15 in Madison. After having to park in Camp Shaw, we got the last seats for the 7:15 showing. Now, that's good news, man. That's great. You're right. Some of it's what's at the theater. I would agree. There's not a lot of success right now with drawing people to a theater for woke crap. But we did see some say that Top Gun Maverick saved the movie industry. I would not dispute that. JT Lacey Springs, he says North Brown staff and COVID equal turd biscuits. So it's Morris Brown. So Morris Brown staff,
like that,
and COVID, I know, equals turd biscuits. Now we got to figure out if there's a sound effect to go with turd biscuits, because apparently we've lost a whole new vernacular for the show. Boom.
Right.
Oh my gosh. But at the very least, it's jackassery. We do know that. David from, there you go. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. David from Athens says, remember during COVID, it seems all businesses were discouraging the use of cash, preparing us for the mark of the beast, he says. We were vacationing in Pensacola Beach when Hurricane Sally hit, knocked out all the power. Ask anybody down there how cashless worked for them. I would agree. Rayson from Milani says, I do not have the CCP deep state virus. First he texted, I'm caregiving my parents who did test positive for COVID, staying home, watching TV, wearing a mask without fresh air and sunshine, guarantee getting the China virus. He said, I do not have the deep state virus. Good on you, Rayson, and take care, brother. TL from Huntsville says, you asked who advised this liberal arts college. Could it have been the Fulton County Elections Office? Good one, TL. Kyle from Sheffield says, Scott Harris, our state health officer, is another example of if greed is your advancement, the devil will write the check. Yeah, wow, there you go. And then John from Huntsville just says, the worst thing about COVID is it took away most of my favorite buffets. Nice. So let me jump back in here. So one of the things that happened, and I'll never forget, I was on one of those task force conference calls listening to Scott Harris ask or tell us how excited he was about the new contact tracing app that his Department of Public Health in conjunction with UAB had put together. And I was the only person who asked questions. And of course, you can imagine some of the questions. Is this going to be mandatory? Is it mandatory? Oh, well, it's going to be necessary. Does it preserve privacy? How do you get around HIPAA laws? Because this is something that's getting into your medical status. And, you know, no good answers. Didn't matter. So I've got a piece here that I pulled up, reaching back in the archives from August of 2020. I actually got this one off a local paper in Jackson County Sentinel. The Alabama Department of Public Health, in partnership with the University of Alabama, Birmingham, launched a mobile application to assist the state in contact tracing efforts of coronavirus. Notice it didn't say it was just because it was for a campus. It said to assist the state in contact tracing. That's a bigger deal. So it's not like what they're saying was, hey, this app, man, just, you know, use it for your employees at your business. It's very isolated. It's like WhatsApp, just little group communications. No. This app was put together by the Alabama Department of Public Health, led by Scott Harris, in conjunction with UAB, for the purpose of, quote, assisting the state in contact tracing efforts. Contact tracing, it says, is the process of tracking an individual, tracking individuals that a person has come into contact with while infected with coronavirus but not showing symptoms. Here's the bottom line. You go to UAB. UAB makes you, as a student, download the app. You have the app on your phone. It now has access to you and where your location is. And then it has access to everybody else's location. And then if somebody determines that they are positive for COVID, they enter a little designator in their app, and it all of a sudden the app reaches back to find out every other app that app has been in close proximity to, and it registers and it sends out messages to everybody, and it tells you to go quarantine. This is spooky Big Brother stuff, in my opinion. All right, developed in conjunction with UAB and the Department of Public Health, it uses a phone's Bluetooth connection to exchange encrypted keys between devices when they are within a certain distance of each other. The data is sent to others who come in contact with your devices. It does not release personal information, they say. Oh, by the way, it was developed using tax dollars. $20 million. Wow. $20 million bucks of CARES Act money was used to help fund the development of the application. Out of 50 states, Alabama was one of only two that opted to create their own app. Interesting. But I thought Governor Ivey was a conservative. Just, you know. Anyway, I look at this and think, this is not good. And we're going to a break, but I'm going to come back and keep this going. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, contact tracing, not on my watch. We'll be right back.
Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, I'm talking about Phil Williams here on the Right Side Studios. Not the Right Side Studios. I'm actually not. I'm actually ensconced in the Dale Jackson bunker right now. Stole the password, got in here, kicked the empty beer cans and dirty socks out of the way, and I'm sitting here on the microphone right now doing the show from Huntsville. Going to have all y'all out there, I hope, tonight. A bunch of you people need to show up at Terry's Pizza. Terry's Pizza this evening, 6 p.m. Myself, Dale, now Mo Brooks subbing in for Yaffe. We're praying for Yaffe as his wife is in labor as we speak. So blessings on baby Yaffe and mom. But yeah, tonight, 6 p.m., Terry's Pizza, Bailey Cove Road. We're going to do a watch party for the GOP debate. And then we're going to have a panel between myself and Dale and Mo and just talk through it and see what we see. But in the meantime, we still got local, state, national, all the issues and covering down like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. So a minute ago for the break, as a part of this COVID madness topic that I'm doing, I discussed the fact that our state health officer who just got a pay raise to 300 and what did I say it was? It was ungodly. It was $328,000 a year is the guy who was so excited because he helped oversee the development of a $20 million app. $20 million went into this thing. Boomer, maybe you know something I don't know. I realize that there's techno stuff that I'm not savvy with.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure $20 million could buy you a whole lot of appage. Would you say?
Yes, absolutely. $20 million, you know, you could get a few things with that.
A tad.
Just a tad.
Must have had some serious bells and whistles. I'm pretty sure contact tracing on this app that costs $20 million, if you did not quarantine immediately like the app told you to, that missiles fell from the sky.
Either that or your phone turned into a cyborg robot and then picks you up and takes you home itself. I don't know. Something like that.
Anyway, $20 million. Now, here's the thing. I don't think I said this before that went on the air. My understanding was they were also selling this to other campuses around the nation. Other states were buying it. So I'm curious what the where the app went, and I need to dig into this and find out whatever happened to it. $20 million so that they could tell you, oh, you appear to have been in close proximity to someone who has tested positive with COVID. You will now quarantine yourself and report directly, or you will not be allowed to back to class. That's what happens. You're not allowed back to class until you have self-reported and cleared the quarantine period. And then, oh, by the way, they can tell on the locator whether you went home or not. They can tell if you're, wait, why are you out? Show us your papers. That's what this is. This is the modern equivalent of, you will show us your papers. All right, but listen, there is a new strain, all right? There's a new strain right now being seen. COVID-19 is being monitored as having a new strain, which is creating what they're calling an uptick in diagnosis. Story here on U.S. News. U.S. News, WHO. Oh, good, the World Health Organization. Wonderful. Awesome. The World Health Organization is monitoring a highly mutated new strain of COVID-19 now spotted in Michigan. It says a new COVID variant with very few known cases but many mutations has swiftly moved into the World Health Organization's variant under monitoring classification. CDC in the United States has said Thursday it's tracking the new variant. More data is needed to understand whether or not it could be dangerous. In other words, this is a story about a non-story. We don't know. Something's out there. We hear there is. We don't have any details. More to come. News at 11. That's what we got. It's possible the variant has been... That was actually really good. I thought that was pretty funny, Boomer. Just to be honest with you.
I was laughing over here. I just forgot to turn my mic. There we go.
I'm sitting here by my... You need to turn your headphones on so I know whether I'm resonating or not. Or your camera. It's possible the variant has been spreading undetected for some time because there are reports of it in countries on three continents. Okay. So I don't know why I even printed that story out. I guess just to show you that when it comes to COVID, they'll report about anything. But here's one for you from MSNBC. Oh, Lord, Phil, did you go to MSNBC? Yes, I did. MSNBC medical contributor tells Americans to start wearing masks again after the uptick in COVID hospitalizations. Okay, let's be clear. This is a doctor on MSNBC. Point number one. who says, Dr. Kavita Patel says, if you've noticed more of your friends, neighbors, loved ones are testing positive for COVID, you're not alone. According to the CDC, COVID-19 hospitalizations are up 12% from last week. And while we're nowhere near previous levels, it's still raising concerns. Okay. Says more than 7,100 patients were hospitalized in the latter part of July. That's up from 6,444 the prior week. What they don't tell you, first of all, is whether or not they had additional considerations or what we call comorbidities. And they also don't bother to point out that 7,100 out of 340-something million people is an infinitesimally small amount. But hey, it's COVID, so it's reportable. Even when you have nothing to say, you say it. And by the way, they're saying it's not that this has been very dangerous. It's been more like a heavy cold. There you have it. So let me start with some good news. We're not seeing anything near the dramatic rises we saw in previous summers or previous years. So what I think people need to do is they just need to keep people on alert. When you're in crowded spaces, think about the coughs and the colds. Sometimes people don't even have symptoms. What do you do with that? Now, sometimes people are around you and you don't even know they're sick. Okay. I don't know what to say to that, but okay. She said, here you go. A mask can be your friend. Keep it. Back in time, we had them in our office and our coats and our backpacks. Time to bring them out again, especially as fall season starts. We don't want to see kids missing school for things that we could have prevented. The point there, though, is we all know, and doctors will tell you, those masks do nothing. When you put that diaper on your face, it is doing nothing. If I can smell your nastiness through your clothes, you can tell that the masks are doing nothing. All right? So no. Next story, New York Post confirming, though, to mask or not to mask. New York Post, fairly conservative in general. New York Post says, to mask or not to mask, that is the question facing many doctors and public health officials and concerned citizens worldwide as COVID cases once again tick upward. Again, very small percentage of our population, like infinitesimally small. Meanwhile, the Centers for Disease, I feel like I'm just minimizing, but what I'm really doing is telling you, don't check your brains at the door. As my monologue earlier, do not not question. Do not be in the space within your head, your heart, your job, your school, your church. Do not be in that space like the people at Morris Brown College who have already shut things down and put masks on everybody. You will get your temperature taken when you walk into the school. What if I don't have COVID, but I just walked across a freaking hot summer sidewalk to get to class? That's not going to work. But hey, you know what? If it makes you feel better, like you're really doing something, well, sometimes doing something is not what needs to be done. Let me just bring this to a close here. I do appreciate the fact that we've got some things. Alabama took some steps, and so later this week, Senator Garland Gudger is going to be on the show with us. He'll be in studio, I believe, on Friday. State Senator Garland Gudger had a bill that was extremely important, and we call it now the Harold Sox and Ann Roberts Law. Now, I knew Harold Sox. He's a great guy. He worked with the state party for years. Beloved by many. His wife, Bonnie's a sweet lady. Ann Roberts is the wife of another friend of mine who still currently serves in the state Senate. Harold Sox and Ann Roberts passed away in the hospitals without their family sitting beside them because they weren't allowed to, because COVID was too scary, because you couldn't dare have somebody in there when we all know, too, that the most important thing you need at that time is the comfort of your loved ones being near you. And, you know, Dan Roberts, bless his heart, he said he was only allowed to see his wife through a glass window. He said, I don't know what your love language is, but ours and our family is often touch. It's a hug. It's holding hands. It's being there. And all of us were denied that opportunity to be with our loved ones in their final days. We cannot go back to that sheepfold, y'all. We cannot. This story's on CBS 42 here in Alabama. And it celebrates the fact that Alabama, Garland Gudger, his bill was passed. And it allowed that families will never be isolated like that again. But we're not that way in other places. There are other parts of this country that are already having the freak out. that are already telling their college kids, you got to have your temperature taken, you got to wear a mask. I'm just telling you, folks, don't check your brains at the door. Don't allow yourself to be taken back to that place. We should never, ever again, with circumstances like what we had before, see our society shut down and lives ruined and people die alone because you're not allowed to be with them because of others who are just too scared to live. All right, folks, there's a bit of a rant, but that's it. COVID madness. Keep your eye on it. Be safe. I mean, I still keep hand sanitizer in my truck, and when I get gas, I rub some on my hands. It's not a bad habit to have anyway. But I'm not living small. I'm going to Terry's Pizza tonight, hanging out with people. And listen, we'll take it back here in 1 second. We'll have a break. We'll come right back. Next thing on the list, number two of the Triple Dipper, Magic Bus. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about some electric school buses on the Double Dutch Bus. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.